Michelle Wolf's monologue at the White House Correspondents' Dinner on April 28th was met with criticism from all sides. Not only was the White House disappointed, but even the media, liberal and conservative alike, felt maligned by Wolf's roast. Her speech was considered so problematic that the president of the White House Correspondents' Association issued a statement to members that said in part, "Last night's program was meant to offer a unifying message about our common commitment to a vigorous and free press while honoring civility, great reporting, and scholarship winners, not to divide people." Unfortunately, the entertainer's monologue was not in the spirit of that mission. But in a time when women are both demanding and being asked to be heard more, how does this kind of critique read? Here to discuss the nuances of what it's like being a woman and a comedian in 2018, the Me Too and Time's Up movements, and of course, Michelle Wolf's monologue are comedians Pat Brown, Veronica Mosey, as well as writer, producer, organizer, and activist, so many things, Agunta Okeo. Hi, everyone. I'm so happy you could be here today.
Hi.
Hi.
This is great. We're usually hustling around the city doing stand-up, and now we're all sitting.
Yay.
And talking. To start us off, I want to play a clip that Wolf received a lot of criticism for, and then you tell me what you think about it.
I actually really like Sarah. I think she's very resourceful. Like, she burns facts, and then she uses that ash to create a perfect smoky eye. Like, maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's lies. It's probably lies.
Now, she was criticized by both Maggie Haberman of the New York Times as well as MSNBC's Mika Brzezinski. They both said that Wolf had critiqued Sanders' appearance, but is that what Wolf was really critiquing Sanders about?
Hell no, she wasn't. If I mean, you got to listen to the joke. The joke is all about the fact that Sarah Sanders continues to lie and for this administration, and that was what the joke was about. And I think people that actually understand comedy, actually listen to it and not just listening to it for what might outrage them, but actually listen to the context of the joke, understood that.
I agree. I actually just reiterated that joke like word for word to someone yesterday because they were trying to tell me like, oh, you know, I don't like what Michelle Wolf did. And I was like, did you even watch all 17 minutes of the actual Correspondents' Dinner? They didn't. They saw 2 minutes of some clip. And then I reiterated the joke and I said that even though the punchline is the smoky eye, but what she's actually talking about is the fact that this woman is actually like a liar.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's something where I think it's just an interesting turn of phrase because it's like, how are you going to burn facts and create a smoky eye? That's brilliant.
You also said it was a perfect smoky eye.
Yeah, it was a perfect
smoky
eye.
Right, which is not...
Which every woman strives for.
From Jersey. The perfect smoky eye should have
very
been
difficult.
A part of the curriculum.
Yeah. Actually, it was sort of a compliment in a way.
It was. But what was... Usually, I feel like there's a trigger word that people are like, they said this, and therefore I can't understand it. What was the trigger word?
Yeah, but you know, that's what I think somebody challenged Maggie Haberman to point out what did she say that was a derogatory against her
yes.
looks. And she didn't say anything. She actually blocked the person on Twitter. It wasn't. The only thing that I think that they can say that she was making light of her looks when she said that she likes her in Handmaid's Tale.
Right.
Aunt
Lydia.
Aunt Lydia, but I don't think she was being derogatory. I just thought she was being like, this is the character that works for the administration that is oppressing, you know, people during this time. That's what I thought she was alluding to.
So Pat, Pat, you're so fun. I'm talking to Pat Brown, by the way. That's Pat's voice.
That
amazing.
Is Pat Brown.
Yes, Pat Brown, come through. So you're saying Haberman took issue with Michelle Wolf comparing Sanders to Aunt Lydia and a softball coach, yes?
Yes. But I didn't hear the softball coach when I listened to it.
That was pretty funny.
It was good.
I missed that one.
She does look like a softball coach.
I mean, we've all seen Glee. We get it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Wolf also reminded us about several issues that have lost traction in the media. Underfunded teachers, Flint's Michigan water crisis being two of them. What do you guys think about using comedy to raise awareness for these issues?
That's should be your point. I think when you do stand up, it should be to raise awareness, whether it's about a personal issue regarding social norms or general social norms. I mean, isn't that what stand up is anyway? Isn't that the point?
I agree. I think stand up, especially stand up comedy, is all about speaking truth to power, right? So it's all about people being able to like just be able to express their truth and be able to say it even if it's countercultural or whatever. So, and I honestly, I think people, a lot of people in terms of the public, I think appreciated Michelle Wolf's comments. Mm-hmm. Like my sense of the general public's reaction was that people actually appreciated it. But when you talk about politics and the machinery of politics, people had a way that they wanted to shape the conversation around it, in my opinion. But
well, I want to ask you, Agunda. Wolf also herself acknowledged in the speech that she was probably invited to the dinner because of the Me Too movement. I mean, do you think it's enough to have movements like this? Because I feel like I don't want it to become white noise. I don't want it just to be a hashtag.
Right.
And, you know, just a joke.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because I mean, I'm more connected to Time's Up and like Women's March and things like that in terms of social justice. But Me Too, I'm aware of Tarana Burke, and I've, you know, run into her in different settings. And she's been doing this work for like 11 years or something. You know, the Me Too hashtag, as far as that's regarded. But I mean, I think it's so early in the game, and we live in a 24-hour news cycle, so everyone's expecting things to be like fully like hashed out in this really fast pace where it doesn't work that way in like the world.
Well, this is,
you know what I mean?
I'm so glad that we get to sit down and talk about this because you're an activist.
Yeah.
A lot of people just wear a t-shirt.
Right.
So can you talk to me about activism? I mean, didn't you help organize the Women's March in New York City?
No, I didn't help organize. I'm part of New York City's Women's March group, but we marched in the Women's March in the city, which was organized by a coalition of folks. And I've organized, for instance, the March for Racial Justice, which came after Philando Castile's verdict. I was the national communications chair for that and the New York City co-chair. So like I staged the D.C. Mall march, like the whole scene, I staged that. And then I staged the one in New York. And
I am so impressed because
I was going to say you did a few things.
Yeah, I can't even get together a Thanksgiving dinner without being overwhelmed. And you were over here doing it. And I am Michelle Vietel.
Like, no, I didn't do that, but I did this.
I'm your host, Michelle Vietel. I'm sitting down with my friend Pat Brown. Hi, Pat.
Hey, baby.
Kundo Okeo.
Hey.
And Veronica Mosey.
Hello.
Just want to reintroduce ourselves in case people are just tuning in. You know how that goes, girls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yes, tell me about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of people with different skill sets to offer. Like, I know I'm a kind of I'm very diverse kind of multiple personality type person, but I don't expect every person who's like interested in an issue to be like marching in the streets necessarily. Mm-hmm. Just the same as like some people who are marching in the streets shouldn't be on the mic necessarily.
I like that.
So, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? So it's something where like, I think what we need to figure out is that there's a lot of different people with different skill sets, and we're all passionate about very similar issues. And if various folks can kind of come together with their various like kind of skills, we can sort of find ways to, I don't know, transform different situations.
You,
like I think comedy is critical, for instance, in that regard.
You are giving me Rick and Michonne realness in The Walking Dead. Everybody should know their part. Now, Veronica, you and I have talked about this a lot. We are always on the stage. We don't necessarily make a sign and go out and protest. I feel like the signs are like they hit my body. They like get in my eyes. Sometimes I feel like people are just there to make an Insta story. Mm-hmm. Where are you at with this now?
You mean with like representing or?
Representing, protesting, Time's Up.
I mean, I just think living your best life as a woman and expressing yourself as a woman. Like, I sometimes just feel like, I remember Oprah had said the fight against racism is excellence. And I feel like it's the same way with sexism.
Mm.
I really do. It's like, if you want people to listen to you and respect you, then and you're really good, it's undeniable. You know what I mean? Like, if you're undeniable in your comedy, that what you're saying is poignant and you can point out things, as we were talking about, how take a social issue and make it into a joke. I mean, everybody goes home and goes, God, yeah, I remember that. That was, yeah, it's interesting. It's funny. Yeah.
Right.
I actually, if Oprah said that, I disagree with that. Because I feel like that's become, represents exceptionalism that most people are not exceptional. I mean, so you should have representation for women, for people of color without having those people to be exceptional. I think that's the whole thing about democracy, is that you can be just the individual, and you should have retained the value of being a citizen of America. You should have.
I think she was saying be the best person you can be.
Oh, well,
that's how I interpret that.
Well, if that's what she meant by it, I'm just saying that a lot of people have that that idea that, you know, we have to represent ourselves in the highest level as possible as Black people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's just everybody deserves, whether you are a stripper, whether you are
a doctor,
mm-hmm. they should have the same rights and citizenry that white Americans do.
Yeah, it's like the whole respectability politics
thing.
That's
exactly.
And then, like, you know, how we all should have at least the same access as a mediocre white man, right? Like, which generally, you know, a lot of mediocre white men.
I think for me, I'll be honest with you, I think for me, looking at like all the guys, like in lineups and stuff on in stand up, there's always going to be sexism. There's always going to be that. There's always going to be racism. Whoever is using like horrible language against different groups is always going to use that language. You're not going to make them wake up and say, oh, you guys should really listen. That's not going to happen. So I believe that knowing reality, all I can do is get up on stage and be hilarious and be a super strong representation of myself. That's all I can do is be right. myself. And then somebody can come up to me afterwards, which I've heard 1,000 times. I'm sure you guys have heard too. Mm-hmm. I usually don't like female comics, but you're really funny.
You're really funny for a woman.
I don't really take that. Mm-hmm. I always take that as an insult. I don't mm-hmm. take that. It's almost like, you know, forgive them for they know not what they do. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know that I have that much forgiveness. Yeah, because it's like you're also pretty for a black person. And it's like, where does it work? We got to put our foot down. I got to put my size 9.5 foot down at some point.
I always get, I don't like female comics, and you've continued that trend. Thank you, Pat, for going on stage.
You know, but coming also being a producer, and the reason why I went into producing and creating space was that I think to some extent, you know, what you're saying is true about the fact that, like, you know, a lot of the prejudices that exist in society have existed for a very long time, and they will continue to exist. The question is, can we make it better? That's what I think about, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's really, I think you will never get to utopia, but I think we can get damn close. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's ways that we can actually
get ourselves closer
to a better way to kind of create space for women and other different folks.
I hope so. Yeah. To say that there's always going to be prejudice makes me feel so sad.
I think in the world that there will be prejudices, but I also feel like racism is an institutional system, so we can break that down and do better about that. So racism doesn't have to affect all of us to this degree. There's going to be individuals that are, of course, going to be racist and sexist.
But speaking about being racist and sexist, mm-hmm. your comedy album.
I'm just kidding.
That is a terrible segue. But wow, I was like, come on. Good afternoon, everybody. It's midday. I'm your host, Michelle Buteau.
Well, you know what? I just think you just drove people to that album right now.
Well, yeah, it's called Sex Tape, honey.
Yeah.
And you released it in 2016 during the election. I mean, how did that affect your work?
Actually, I got so much good review off that album. Really, I mean, people just... I don't know if my name was out there or whatever, but just people started coming to that album like, wow, what you're talking about is really relevant, and I like the way that you talk about it in terms of like the metaphors that I used to kind of talk about what was happening in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just got a lot of love from that album.
I love that. So it was kind of like group therapy for everybody.
I think so, and too, it also pointed to some things that like the different sides I didn't think about in terms of how we, you know, interact in the world. Women, be it black women, women in general, gay women. Mm. So, yeah.
I love that. And I'm a woman, so I like all those things. I'm Michelle Buteau, and I'm speaking with comedians Veronica Mosey, Agundo Akeo, and Pat Brown. You're listening to Midday on WNYC. We'll be right back after the break. Hey everybody, I'm Michelle Buteau, hosting Midday, and I'm hanging out with my female comedian friends, Pat Brown, hi, Agundo Akeo,
hey,
and Veronica Mosey.
Hello.
Okay, so I want to play another clip of Michelle Wolf's monologue. When people call it a monologue, I'm always like, okay, it's comedy, honey.
Yeah.
Monologue sounds so formal, like I'm auditioning for this Shakespeare play.
Right.
Okay, so she was... criticized the media for giving Trump a platform. Let's play the clip.
You guys are obsessed with Trump. Did you used to date him? Because you pretend like you hate him, but I think you love him. I think what no one in this room wants to admit is that Trump has helped all of you. He couldn't sell steaks or vodka or water or college or ties or Eric. he has helped you. He's helped you sell your papers and your books and your TV. You helped create this monster, and now you're profiting off of him.
Oh, ladies. Yeah. What do you think?
I love that. I just love that she, because actually she almost just started just making a statement after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the whole reason that a lot of people on the left actually didn't like the set. I didn't like her monologue.
Like, wait. She's talking about us?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, people on the left and the right are selling books.
Yeah, but you know, the people on the right were probably going to not like her anyway, but people on the left came at her too. So I was like, wow.
Equal opportunity offender. Yeah. That's a good comedian right there.
Well, I mean, I think generally right now, like what we're dealing with is a lot of people are using convenient truths. You know what I mean? So kind of like,
what is a convenient truth? Break it down.
Well, like, you know, people a lot of times, like they just, you know, they're in an echo chamber. They just want to hear what they want to hear that makes them feel better about themselves. Right. Mm-hmm. And to some extent also, that's kind of the way even the internet is structured now with all the siloing. Yeah. So people are just kind of used to being reinforced constantly. So they're not used to being uncomfortable. And the whole project to stand
Absolutely.
Up is about discomfort, right? Mm-hmm. So like that's why people always shook about sitting in the front row, because they're like, I don't want to be picked on, you know? So
right.
So I mean, I don't know, like I honestly, I thought the writing of her set was brilliant, and I thought that it straddled this interesting place between some sense of responsibility to speak on the public
right.
platform, but then also to make sure that you were really just serving comedy and funny. You know what I mean?
Tap dance.
Yes. Yeah. I think she, I really do genuinely think, because I watched it twice. I mean, from, you know, when it came out. And I thought she did a good job. I mean, it's a question of style. Some people might not like her style.
Right.
But like, I think as far as the craft, I think she did a good job.
Oh, well, yeah. She's.
Well, Chappelle commented on it. Yeah. Did you see Chappelle's
comments? Yeah, I did. Yeah.
He was like, actually, he even said, whether or not I agree mm-hmm. with what she said, you can't criticize artistry. Right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
Right? It's a joke.
Veronica, do you think the responsibilities have changed for comedians in the last 2 years in Trump's America? You know, if we have an hour set to do somewhere, you know, do we have to talk about him?
I mean, I personally am not. I don't do a lot of political stuff. I do more, I don't know, stuff about my life. And I'm more selfish,
well,
I think. But
you're a mom now, and that has changed your set a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think you have a responsibility to talk about whatever you're most passionate about.
Right.
And if you're passionate about how you feel about the current administration, then go for it. And that's what, look, I always say, like, you know, the court jester was the person who could make fun of the king and not get his head chopped off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole concept of comedy. The fact that, to be honest with you, sometimes when people get criticized, like, I felt Michelle Wolf, I mean, I love how she responded to a lot of people's comments. She was like, thanks. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, that was great.
It was
great,
just kind of like, rather than the standard apology, right. which I can't stand. Overall, I hate when comedians apologize.
Right.
I can't stand it.
So we understand how comedy works. My biggest thing is, though, is Michelle getting all this heat because a woman said it? Are there certain things that women can't say without people, people can't handle it? Because I feel like people were shutting down.
I think if
a guy said it, it was the same. Yeah. I just really think she said it in a way that she was so unapologetic about saying it. I think she stood tall and she just, because Sarah, I mean, people don't know how difficult it is. Sarah Sanders was right next
to there.
Three people away from her, and she was bashing her like, not bashing her, like
roasting her
right there, and
like a man would have done.
Well,
honestly, if you watch the standard roast,
right.
I would say like a person that knows what their responsibility is, and so she went, and no matter what, she was unapologetic, and she just went for it. I really admire her for that.
I do. It's harder to say it than to sit there and take it. I believe people want to feel sorry for the person being roasted,
right.
But they don't have to say anything, and everybody's already on their side.
Exactly. Well, so I had a situation one time where this woman. Hey, remember the Left Eye burned down her Andre's house.
Yes. Right?
And so he was
by accident, white for Micah, honey. Nobody knew. Nobody
right.
knew them sneakers.
So, but he came into the comedy club like a week later,
mm-hmm.
and so I had these jokes about that, and so with a person in the room, that's a very difficult to, you know, walk that line. So I straddled that line, and I said my jokes, and so he was laughing. So I knew the joke was funny, but there was other comics that went on after me that told the jokes, and it just, it killed the audience. When I mean killed the spirit in the audience.
Yeah.
But they did their jokes anyway. So you can evaluate what you think was funny or not, but the fact that they did the jokes in front of him was, so,
okay, this is, speaking of doing the jokes in front of them and in front of the person and also just the nation, Kathy Griffin's photo.
That situation makes me so upset.
Okay.
It actually makes me furious.
Okay.
I'm really, really angry that this woman was on the Interpol list and that, like, she literally was investigated by the DOJ for something that was a crass joke. Mm. I'll say it. It was definitely crass. But they were burning effigies of Obama for years. I mean, they had people showing pictures, like literal full body images of Obama being lynched, right? Like, it was, people were walking in front of the White House saying there's lions in Africa, but there's a lion African in the White House. I mean, the racism and the spectacle of racism that Obama experienced was ridiculous. And then, and what she did was, I would say again, crass, right? But what happened to her was like, it reminded me of like McCarthy. And the fact that we didn't really, frankly, I even am a little upset at myself. I didn't really get what she was going through.
Right.
Until she came out months later. And I've watched all these interviews she's done all over the world, like now that she's kind of back in the game.
Yeah.
But I didn't really understand what happened to her. And I frankly, I will say for the record, I'm furious about what actually happened to her. Because I don't think you should get that kind of treatment for jokes. You know what I mean? Like, she was criminalized, like 100%. Yeah. So I don't know. I feel some kind of way about
that. Why do you think, Veronica, more comedians didn't stand up for her? It seemed like a lot of people were just backing up, just like, I don't know her.
Well,
they were moonwalking.
They Mariah carried her.
Yeah, so they were moonwalking back away from her.
I don't know. I think it's like the Aziz situation where you had people come out and make some comments where it's kind of like you have to, it's like you distance yourself from any type of controversy, right? So it's like, we all have to save our own necks at the end of the day in the business, being realistic. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened with that is it received just such backlash. People were like, I can't support. Also, too, once you throw the element of like, you know, they said that his kid saw it and was like disturbed by it and all this stuff. I think people listen to that. I'm just saying. You're asking, you know, that's what people.
But also bringing back to that, the question of how, if a woman does this, how do people react? That question you asked earlier about Michelle Wolf, I'll connect it to, in my opinion, to Kathy and to Michelle, in that, like, I do think that they both approach their work kind of independent of gender and people's perception of their gender. Yeah. I think they definitely do that. However, I do think that their work is received with those visors on to some extent. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I do think people judge them unfairly because they're both very articulate and loud women.
And you know what I mean? Like, ow.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, and so there's something, I do think that there's a way that people feel a sense of access to criticize or to demonize a woman when she speaks very kind of clearly and loudly.
Oh, sure, they say she's ugly.
Right.
That's the first thing they go after.
Or you're fat.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that they handled their business and they came at it professionally, but I also think that, like, they definitely experienced some degree of sexism.
Well, it's funny because, I always feel like I'm in denial about being a woman. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying.
No, discuss.
Like, when you get on a lineup or something, and then when someone says the comment about, you know, I normally don't like it, you're always like, oh, but I was just funny.
Yeah.
Or like, it's even, you know, like, I don't know if this ever happened where you get off stage and like there's guys, if you do really well, and then there's always like the one guy that won't say like, great set. And you're just like, oh, right, I forgot.
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
That is Veronica Mosey and also Gundo Akeo, Pat Brown. I'm your host, Michelle Buteau. This is Midday. We are getting into it like it's a low budget View, but with like a budget. I am here for it, ladies. Does this mean I'm wolfy? I am here for it. Now, are there things that women comedians can say that men can't? Because I feel like if there's, you know, period joke, a man can do it and people will digest it. But if a woman talks about her own body, people are like freaked out.
I really was impressed with this one thing about Amy Schumer when she opened the SNL, her monologue about period. And I just like her take on it.
Yeah.
It's like,
can I get it here, huh?
Yeah.
Can I get it here, huh?
Yeah, but it's also so the idea that this natural thing that we have shame that, right. You know, because and this her joke was, oh yeah, we choose to bleed every month. That's what we do,
yeah.
Fellas.
Right.
And so I just like I thought that.
But
was
it's
just,
okay if Dr. Oz is talking about it.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So that I thought that was so absurd. The idea that we have to have shame behind something that is completely natural.
Right.
And it's not our shame; it's their shame. Fellas don't want to hear us talk about our periods, but they'll talk about masturbating endlessly,
right,
all day.
90% of white male comics, I'm sorry,
not just
I didn't
white.
Mean
no,
no I meant to say male comics
male
mm-hmm. will talk about masturbating
all day.
That's actually the reason why I didn't want to do stand-up comedy, because I thought I could never come up with enough masturbation jokes. And then I realized, oh, we could actually talk about whatever we want.
Exactly.
I just find that it's such an interesting time to be alive, and I know that sounds so cliche and something that should be put on a magnet, but it's true. A lot of people bring up intersectionality. You bring it up a lot, Agunda.
Fair amount, yeah.
Can you speak to it? Can you explain it for our listeners?
Sure. The term, let me not get too nerdy, but the term itself, I'm going to give Kimberly Crenshaw, professor at Columbia, her credit because she's the one who kind of gave me the term.
Whoop.
But it's basically about the fact that, especially when it comes to the experiences of women of color, you live at the intersections of many different like aspects of your identity, your gender, your sexuality, your race, your class, the way you kind of just generally define yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't understand yourself and the world can't understand you without understanding that you are at the intersections. You're not a one thing. You're not like a box, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think intersectionality is trying to find a way to have sophisticated conversations not only about the experiences of women of color, but also the solutions to dealing with the problems affecting women of color, you
right.
know?
Which is, I would assume, is why you produced your show, Sisters of Comedy.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like, I'm Kenyan, I grew up in New York City, I'm pansexual, I have no hair. There's a way that I am. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Honey.
Like,
yes,
there's
honey.
A way that I am that's just different. It's just
what
different.
What is pansexual?
Pansexual is just like, you know, you like pancakes a lot. No. Pansexual
you got
is
sticky hands.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? All kinds of sticky.
You cook naked.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Just butt naked. No, but pansexual basically is that you don't really find your attraction to people based on gender.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very hard time actually reading like obvious gender. I can tell like a long hair, biologically, I guess, woman, but I don't actually even process people the same way. I process them differently. It's like they're because I feel like masculine energy and feminine energy exist in like both men and women.
That's true.
And that's what I read.
Have you met me, yeah, and my husband? Have you met Veronica?
Yeah.
My husband?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because like I read it differently. There's women I meet who I'm like, wow, a lot of masculine energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's women, men who I meet are like a lot of feminine energy or some, you know, something in between. So that's what I generally react to is the way that the elements of being human, if we say masculine and feminine, actually represent in people. And I try to find whatever I'm into, you know. So holla at me, you know what I'm saying?
No, but we'll figure it out together.
Yeah, you know. No, but like real talk, like when I started Sisters of Comedy, it was because like, where am I gonna go? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you know, really, like being the person that I am, I'm super international. Like I can't even like separate myself from like politics that's happening in other countries. Like, where am I gonna go? So I just created this space. Because if I feel uncomfortable, I assume a lot of other women do.
Yeah.
I really do like being able to share space with other women.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely like it.
It is about, I think, in this day and age, for sure, creating your own content. Because you cannot wait on somebody else. Because they're still defining us and putting us in boxes. Like, Veronica, you do a lot of voices. What are those called again?
Character voices.
Character, thank you.
Yeah.
hey, it's midday.
I do a lot of
them. And I'm Michelle. Is it too early for Pinot Grigio? Yeah. But yeah, you do a lot of characters. And, you know, you and I are both from Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And your characters are all like international. There's a Russian woman. There's there's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you draw that from?
Oh, real people. The woman when I do this woman, her name is Svetlana. She's a Russian woman. She lives in Brooklyn, and she it's actually a woman. It's a liquor store that I go to because that's how my career is going. And seriously, I walk in and I'll say, hey, can you recommend a good red? She'll go, what do you want? Get wine. That's it. I don't know what to tell you. And I was like, maybe to go with fish. Or she's like, I don't know. Just here's one right there. It's beautiful. It's a great wine. Like, it's that type of stuff. Like, all kinds of characters
but
in the neighborhood.
It goes back to what we were saying before, where you were making jokes about Left Eye's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you can make these people laugh about themselves, then you're kind of bringing people together. You right. know what I mean?
Sort of. Yeah. But then when you do a show like everybody talks like this, I did a show on Friday at a country club and everybody there talked like this.
Yeah.
And they don't.
Was it for WNYC?
No.
Just kidding. Come on, guys.
It was out in Manhasset, Long Island.
Yes,
and when I talk like this, they don't particularly find it funny. So that happens
because
too.
Because maybe they don't pick it up.
I think so. They're like, it just sounds like me.
Right. Have you ever heard somebody like that has an accent and then they start doing a English accent and you can't pick it up? You're like, what are you doing now?
What, you mean when I do this? I call myself the plus size Meghan Markle. Is that what you mean? All right.
Love Prince Harry.
So, role models.
Oh.
We're talking about Michelle Wolf and Kathy Griffin and Amy Schumer. And dare I say, these are all our colleagues. We're all in it together, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are young girls, young beings, growing up, watching TV, seeing what's, you know, in cartoons or what have you. Mm-hmm. Who are your role models?
Wow. Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
Carol Burnett for me was my number one. Like, wow, she just does everything.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Wow. I would put Carol Burnett up there, and because I would watch those over and over again, and Mary Tyler Moore did something for me.
Yeah.
I mean, she absolutely.
She was never Mary Tyler Less. Come on, who doesn't like a dad joke midday? Come on.
It was just something about her that that affected me, and she was just funny, but she was self-deprecating. She was beautiful. She was everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really like Moms Mabley. Like, she spoke to me because she's like her struggle, you know, and how long it took her to kind of come to fruition, and then also her social justice side because she was an activist.
Mm-hmm.
So she was someone who I always kind of admired, and I always liked Whoopi's independence.
Yeah, definitely.
Like that's the thing I admired most about Whoopi. I was like, oh, she just did her own thing.
She made her own box.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
She took the SAT. She's like, this is how it should be done.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
What if I love that you guys all chose women. What if I was like, Andrew Dice Clay?
He was the best.
I think he was pretty groundbreaking. Sorry.
Yeah. He was. Yeah. Well, yeah, but then his shtick could only last so long. That's the problem.
And no, it's still lasting though. But, well, and have you ever been to one of his shows? Literally, his shows is like 95% male young men.
You think?
Yeah,
everything he did generation.
Was and that new generation that he's, you know, forming bonds with.
Yeah. And hopefully that'll be a new generation watching us perform. Thank you, ladies, so much for joining me. I'm Michelle Buteau, and I've been speaking with comedians Veronica Mosey, Akunda Akeo, and Pat Brown.